the center of all the Tuscan's problems. The air shaper had shown Ayak the way. And soon, Ayak would lead the rest of the Sand People to her. Keep going, I'm listening. Annalene wasn't listening, but it hardly mattered. While Ulbrich spent far more money at the store than any other visitor to the Peak Oasis, and far more time, too. Ulbrich had a platoon of farmhands to run his spread. He knew in his heart that droids were thieves, programmed by Jawas to steal from their masters. The old moisture farmer had first pontificated on that subject when Annalene was running the counter at 17. 20 years later, he was still talking about it, among countless other topics. At the moment, Ulbrich was on another classic. The four times he had seen rain.
"And the second drop was right in my eye, let me tell you. I felt it, and I was looking up, too. You'd think rain would be like the mist some see on the ground, steaming up. But no! It comes right down at you, just like it fell out of a freighter."
"Uh-huh. Right." Annalene nodded as she dusted the merchandise on the shelves behind the counter. Ulbrich's ramblings were like recordings of familiar songs, arranged in a different medley each day. Because while the old farmer remembered a lot, he often forgot his place. An engineer who visited the Dune Sea years earlier once described Ulbrich's stories as transcendental loops defying the laws of physics and storytelling. She didn't know about that, but she did suspect the cause of her pain. Ulbrich's wife, Magda. Annalene had never seen the woman. But it was clear she dispatched her husband to the store at the crack of dawn every morning to torment someone else for a change. This made Magda both a wise woman in Annalene's ledger and deserving of a smack in the face should they ever meet.
"But you know, I swear I seen a freighter take off once and go right through a flock of Nibre, and the things just hit the ground like sacks of spanners. Which is why I don't go near that Mos Eisley no more. 'Cause they're always trying to kill people and take their money."
"Uh-huh, right." Annalene looked around, plaintively, for different company. It was futile. The breakfast rush was over. The workers would be in the vaporator fields for hours. The Bizards had left her guest quarters early that morning to return home, anxious to pick up the pieces of their lives. The settlers around the oasis were resilient, as they had to be. Annalene didn't miss the extra burden, but she did miss the baby. Her babies were at work. Jabe had taken the store's light van speeder truck to the dry goods distribution center in Bastien. Callie was out back with the animals. That left her alone with Bomer, the slow-motion Rodian sitting at the luncheonette table considering his calf. She wondered what he saw there sometimes. She slouched against the cabinets and sighed. "Find what you need at Danar's claim," the sign outside read. What she needed was a month away on a lush green forest planet.
"But back then, the first time I was working for real money on a vaporator, I just started crossing circuits. Beginner's luck, they called it. That was the second time I seen rain. Or maybe it was the first. I spent the rest of my days trying to figure out just what I did."
Annalene looked up. Orin entered through the back of the store, whistling and wearing the natty dress brown she'd picked out for him from the high-end catalog. Clicking his leather boots together, he smiled broadly at her.
"How do I look?"
"Like you just landed from Coruscant," she said, smiling wanly back.
"Thanks to my fashion coordinator."
Orin's expression hardened when he glanced at Ulbrich. Realizing the old man was in mid-rainfall, Orin rolled his eyes and plunked down his satchel. "Got a meeting in Mos Eisley. That new hotel is taking bids for a water supplier." Annalene nodded. Since the last commodity bust,
Orin had redoubled his efforts to lock in regular purchasers at preset prices. I'll talk to a couple of farms on the way back about joining the settlers call. Folks who actually care about protecting their assets. Orin shot a pointed look at Ulbrich, but the old man paid him no mind. Annalene knew that Orin had tried again and failed again to sign Ulbrich up a week earlier. Turning his attention to the counter space, Orin patted his vest pockets. Blast! Forgot your credit pouch again? Annalene knew this story, too. Orin raised the hinged section of the counter and stepped to the cash box, sealed, as it had been in her husband's day, with the barrel of a blaster pistol inserted into a pair of metal rings. Annalene watched as Orin removed the blaster and pulled out a handful of credits. He looked at her abruptly. Oh, I'll leave a... Forget it. Money in one hand, he placed the other on her cheek and smirked. Thanks, Annie. Nobody loves me like you do. You're probably right. She watched the man leave. Nobody had ever kept accounts between the two families when it came to the small things. But lately, Annalene had increasingly gotten the sense that whatever she owed Orin for protection and helping to rear her son paled next to the meals, supplies, and petty cash he'd taken out of the store. Still, a sunny nature counted for a lot. And if she wasn't going to begrudge Wal Ulbrich his audience, it was hard to refuse Orin his little liberties, especially now that he was in his big business phase. Drunk divorcee Orin had been a trial years before. The new model verged on blowhard, especially now, as he seemed to be selling in overdrive lately. But that was a definite improvement. Ulbrich plopped down a bottle of fizz and a credit on the counter.
Say, did I tell you about the first time I saw a crate dragon?
Enough. Annalene's eyes scanned beneath the side counter. There it was. The tub of goods Ben had left behind the week before. She'd gone back and forth for days about restocking the shelves with the material. Now, opening the window behind her, she decided to do something else.
Callie!
Annalene leaned out the window. Her daughter was behind the store, in the livestock yard.
Callie, can you hear me? No. Can you watch the counter for a couple of hours? No. Great. Come on in.
Annalene shut the window and pulled the tub from beneath the counter. She was looking in the little mirror behind the kitchen door when Callie